Good evening, Abba Yisai. Good evening. So an interesting vault, not related to not related to Purim per se, but it comes from the Megillah. It can give a person a lot. I think it's an important message. The very last pasuk of the Megillah, tells us that Mordechai Yudi or Mishnah le what's the pasuk? Mishnah Melech. V'rotzui leroiv echov v'derish tov le'amoi. He was, I need a Megillah. Can you just give me, I have a Chumash in front of you. Chumash, yeah, maybe that will. Thank you so much. It's a fascinating Rashi. If you wouldn't be the last Rashi of the Megillah, he would be one of the first ones. You know, it's one of the unlucky ones. If it's at the end, it often, people tend to forget about. Rashi, it's such an important message. The mamash at the end, the very, very last pasuk of the Megillah. Ki Mordechai Yehudi Mishnah Melech, Mordechai Yehudi was a Mishnah Melech, the vice king, Achashverosh, Gadol Yehudim, he was very great for the Yidden. Verotzu, he was very popular, Roiv Echo for the majority of his brothers. Toresh Toiv Le'amo, he was seeking good for his nation. V'doiver Sholoim, he was speaking good, Lechal Zaro, for all the Yidden. What's the question, the obvious question on this pasuk? Why Roiv Echo? What the majority? What, he was only popular for Roiv Echo? It was good for the Roiv Echov, the majority, not all the Eden. So Rashi brings a Medrash, and he says as follows. Rashi says, Roiv Echov, I need to find it. Don't know why it's not here. So strange. I don't believe it. Rashi's not here. I don't understand that. Rashi says, Roiv Echov, can't find it. But there's Rashi somewhere. Rashi on this pasuk says Leroyv Echov. Why does it say Leroyv Echov Loi Kol Echov? So it says Pirsh Rabbi Seinu. I think the lashon of Rashi is Rabbi Seinu teach us that Pirsh Memenu Miktsas Sanhedrin, that the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din, they were upset with him and Pirsh to distance themselves from him because is there another Chumash there? Oh, have you got it? Let's see. Thank you so much. Leroy Vechov. Yeah, this one is good. This one has got it. Leroy, thank you very much. Leroy Vechov, Rashi says, very last Rashi. V'loy lechol echov, melamei, teach that Shepirshum and Mikzah Sanhedrin. The Beis Din, the Sanhedrin, they distance themselves from Mordechai. It's not such a happy end. Because the Sanhedrin, they distance them from him. Lefi, because Shenasi Kov Lemalchus, because he became really close to the king Achashverosh. He became a royal advisor, minister. Vayobotl Metalmud, and he stopped learning to some extent. And because of that, they distance themselves from him. Initially he was a Sanhedrin member, very prominent member of Sanhedrin, and now, because of this incident, he became a very senior advisor to Achashverosh. He couldn't be part of this, he couldn't be a member of Sanhedrin anymore. So therefore, he wasn't popular by everybody, because some people are a little bit disappointed in him. It wasn't quite the same anymore. So the obvious question is, why did he remain in the Achashverosh's? Why did he remain there? Why did he remain a minister there?
To make sure the Yidden.
Exactly, because just because Haman is gone and hanging, doesn't mean there's no next Haman coming. Obviously, he's there for a reason. He wasn't there just to enjoy the luxuries and the VIP treatment of the royalty. He was obviously there for a very specific purpose. So if that's the case, if he was there as a senior minister or a senior askin in the government, so if so, what's the time on him? Why were they so? Why did he were disappointed? Many people were not happy with him. He was doing a good job there. So why he was doing important stuff? He was saving Eden. He was doing good service for Klal Yisrael. So if so, why were they disappointed in him? Why did he distance himself from him in Sanhedrin? He was doing good work, but. Oh, very good. I want to share with you a thought that I remember seeing once. Question is a good question. I think it's a very strong question. Why Rotsu Leroy Echov? I think Pshat is that if a person has to sometimes be an onus, if a person is an onus, he wasn't an onus, he had no choice. Mordechai had to deal with this. But at the end of the day, he had to close his Gemara, he had to distance from the mitzvahs, he had to go to the Goyish Palace and deal with it, and he had to do it. Definitely. But it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate to do it. It would have been much better if he could have become, he was an Osir, he was a Gadol Bnei Yisrael. And he had yet to use his koiches for something else. And that was a shame. It's unfortunate. Somebody's an oinus, it's not great news. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. That the fact that he had to be in there, it's not a pleasurable. It was a sacrifice. It was the right thing to do, but it was a sacrifice. Pir Shiro Evechom. Rav Dester writes somewhere in Michtav Melio, forgot where. Rav says, you can judge a person's Yirah Shemaim. How do you judge a person's Yirah Shemaim? How do you judge where you are in Yirah Shemaim? How do you judge it? Rabbi Kagan, how do you judge your Yirah Shemaim? It's a tough question. How do you judge your own Yirah Shemaim? So he says, Rav Dester writes, you judge Yirah Shemaim according to a person's reaction and emotion when he's in onus. If you oversleep once, and you can't daven like a mensch, how do you feel about it? Have you forgotten? But by the time you get to the business, to the office, have you forgotten about it? Or do you feel bad about it? Do you feel, it's not the same? If a person once is an onus, he couldn't do things properly and mitzvahs properly, how does he feel afterwards about it? That's the way you judge a person, Yirah Shemaim. When a person is in an onus situation, and that's exactly what Rashi is telling us over here. He was needed in Achashverosh, of course he was needed there, and he had to do it. But at the end of the day, Pir Shemaim Rav Sinai, It wasn't quite the same. A message hidden in the back of the Megillah. Okay. We are up to Hilchas Brachas, Simen Reish Beis, and we're up to Seif Beis. I'd like to briefly recap the Seif because it's a Yesodis Tikkun Seif, and it's teaching us a lot of the very, very important concepts with regards to Birkas HaPeiros. To recap, there is various levels of Brachas. The top level of a brach that exists is Beirei Pri HaGafen, which is a specifically designated bracha for wine and grape juice. You're right. So there's a special bracha for that, which is Beirei Pri HaGafen. If it's normally things that grow from the tree, obviously it's going to have weight. And if the level underneath that is Beirei Pri HaAdama, and the halacha is we're going to see that any time that you should make ha'et and you by mistake make ha'adama, what's the halacha? B'dyeved? Yayotze, b'dyeved. Not the other way around. But because anything that grows on a tree has come originally from the ground, so therefore if you make ha'adama on something which is b'etzem ha'et, yayotze b'dyeved. And so you've got the top level b'rei pri hagafen, b'rei pri ha'et on a lesser level, b'rei pri hadama on the lower level, and underneath that you've got sha'akol, which is obviously, the bracha you can say on anything but Yavet. What about with the bracha achrona, I will not go into the shalav al hamechia. It's bi'alocha. I'm not going to go into that now. Very good. Yeah. Okay. This is a slightly different shaila. We'll leave that for now. Yeah. Simon Beis tells us the following. Let's just go from the beginning. Haboise, which as we discussed yesterday, that's unripe. Grapes, there's a name for it, the fancy word, fancy name for it, but I'm not quite sure what it is. Anybody know? Unripe grapes? The name for it? Not sure. So, a boy is a cold man, again, that's a certain size. In other words, the grape is not fully developed, then, he's going to make a bracha b'rei pri adama. If it is beyond that, then, you can make Beirei Pri HaEitz. Mitoch shel inoy dadanu shir pir alovan le'olim v'ech Beirei Pri HaAdama ad she gadol b'yoisa. So the insight that we're learning over here is when you have fruits, it's not only referring to, as the Mishnah points out, it's any fruit really. If it's not fully ripe, that is the insight. Rabbi said that is the point. A fruit that is, think about an apple, think about any fruit, if it's not fully ripe yet, it's not fully a beautiful, ripened, delicious fruit. It's on a stage before that. He hasn't got the beauty of the specially designated bracha for eight. It's on a level before that, which is the bracha for Beirei Pri HaAdama. Does that make sense? You're not going to make shehakol on it. You're going to make Beirei Pri HaAdama on it because it's above shehakol. Now he says that since we don't know exactly when that is, you're only going to make a Beirei Pri HaEitz when you know fully it's a fully ripened fruit. If you've got a fruit which is bitter, mar oy ofutz, it's sour, the Shulchan Aruch continues and tells us what happens if you've got a fruit which is really bitter. It's really sour. It's really not quite, it's not good. It's not really edible fruit. Then you're not going to make a bracha on it at all. If you're taking, we're going to see it's very relevant, la'alocha. We're soon going to speak about medicines. So, but if you're eating a fruit which is not edible at all, and for some reason you are eating it because you may be starving, or not you, somebody may be starving, or there's any other reason why a person ends up eating an unedible fruit, you will not make a bracha on it. But if it's already a little bit edible, if it's slightly edible fruit, but not very nice, you're going to make bo'er pri'a adoma, and if it's fully ripened, fully developed, and delicious fruit, you're going to make, obviously, bo'er pri'a eitz on it. Now, the Rama continues, and the Rama really goes in line with what we just discussed now. Carobs. Carobs. Does anybody eat carobs? Carob? Pardon?
Incredibly hard to check.
Yeah, they are. So if the Alach Haruvin, Einam of Oich Berpura Eitz, Haruvin also grows on trees, you will, however, only make Berpura Eitz on carobs, Berpura Eitz, Ad Shireh Boen Kemin Shashiroi Shel Haruvin. Unfortunately, I wanted to check, I was unable to check, how exactly carobs grow. Does anybody know how they grow exactly? Have you ever seen them growing? Apparently, the Shashiroi is some sort of chains. These chains, the developmental stage. At one point, when they're fully developed, there's like chains around it. I wonder if it's like the, not quite sure what the chaim. Do you know anything about it? Have you seen carobs growing? Do you know how it looks like? I don't know how it looks like. Well, apparently there's some sort of chains sticking out. And those are, when you have those, when you have those chains of, do you know how they grow, carobs? Yeah, and when they're fully developed, there should be some, do you know how, what these chains could be like? Then they're considered fully developed, and that's what you're going to make purple eights. Prior to that, oh wow, look at that. I should have known. That's a carob app. Okay, can we see that? What is it? You can see it's how shashiroi is.
They kind of grow in a ring, I think.
Rings.
It looks like a ring.
Yeah.
Maybe not a ring.
Yeah, no, ring makes sense.
Maybe not a ring. It's hard to tell. It's not a great picture, actually.
Yeah, so those rings, they must be shashiroi. If the rings are not quite there yet, then you're going to make which bracha? You can't make oates.
Adoma,
that's right. V'chen b'zei seems silly with olives. Anybody seen olives growing? Olives? Yeah. Ad she yigdal b'eitz sevivam. Until there is, there's flowers. That's what it means. V'chen b'zei seems ad she yigdal b'eitz sevivam. If there's no flowers, have you seen olives? Olive app. There should be like some flowers or something like that. Actually, it's vivam. The koydim loken mevorich b'epri adama v'chein ikad. The Rama says similarly when it comes to olives, make sure when you make a b'epri or eitz on the olives, make sure that there must be some sort. We're going to see exactly what it looks like. Not seeing it. What is that? Is that? Right, so those kind of things around it, yeah? So those must be, if they're around, you can make b'epri eitz. Prior to that, if they are picked before that, you don't make a b'epri eitz in it, it's not fully developed. The Rama is very much in line with what the Shulchan Aruch's Yesoid is. This is a very simple Yesoid. Ho'eitz is a special bracha. And you can only make the special bracha if the fruit were fully developed, fully ripe, and delicious. If they're not fully quite there, then the bracha is going to be ha'adoma. If they're even on a stage prior to that, they're not edible at all, that is really not really bitter, and you wouldn't normally eat it, you can make no bracha on them at all. Now, this is the Yesod of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. What will be? What will be the halacha if something is really not nice? Imagine a apple which is not fully developed, But it is very sour, and it's very... Have you ever seen? But it's edible. So we've learned so far, if it's beautiful, it's our eitz. If it's not fully ripe, it's our domo. If it's unedible, it's... If it's not unedible, you make no brocha, as it says. Ein brocha nolof klal. If it's not edible, you make no bracha. What if it is edible? It's just really, really not nice. I'll give an example. Can you think of an example?
Sharp onion.
Sharp onion. Edible? Just about edible?
Edible.
Really? Okay. I don't know about sharp onions. But if sometimes you have cooking apples. Cooking apples? They are really not nice. But they're edible. Bun?
Garlic.
Well, that's, I don't want, yeah. So I'm thinking about cooking apples, which are, have you ever seen cooking apples? They're really, sometimes they grow in the, yeah, so sometimes they're just about edible. Just about edible. Oh, so, what's that? You can't really eat them. Okay. Who was from Mexico?
Well, he grew up in Texas, and he could just... Mouth, but, you know, you come near me, my
eyes. Yeah, okay, so that kind of thing. What was that?
You go after the
rope. So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, in Seif Katan, that's mamash important, we're going to see soon why it's so relevant. The Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Katan, mitches, ad she'ein roi, mevuah mizeh, it seems from the words of Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch's words was, ad she'ein roi le'achila, it's not edible, afilu even al edatchak. Even if you're pushed to the corner, you're not going to eat it, then you make no brocha. What does that seem to imply? That's right. If it's a ledatchak, if you would eat it under difficult circumstances, you'd eat it. It is edible, it's just really not nice. You're going to make a bracha. Which bracha? Sha'akot. It says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Nuches, Ad She'ein Roi. Mevuah Mizeh, Dim Al Kol Ponim Ne'echolim Al Adei Hadchak, if they are edible Al Adei Hadchak, under difficult circumstances, Af Al Gav, although, Shechamutzim, they're very, Chamutzim, they're vinegar, they're, thank you, yeah, they're sour, morim, they're bitter, Hem Kedech Peres Bekatnuson, when fruit are not fully developed yet, when they're tiny, when they're not developed yet, then Afil Ochin, nevertheless, Mevoicholim, Bekosim Aru, you still make a broch on it. Nechayotam, Beoin, it's a fry, pickpuku, but it's a dacholik, without Mechunzo, Hene Voichol Shakol. So, the Chayotam says, you will make shakol in it. Imloi, Chebishlon, Oimitkon, Beur, the Azm Voichol of Beur Priyaitz. Chayotam says that actually, if you take this, I don't want to speak about that too much, but about the Ole Sefraim said that if you would cook it now and it's going to be edible, you can make proper eitz on it. Because we'll leave that for later simon. But the story that we're seeing over here is that the halacha is that if there are edible, al yadchak, there are edible, they're just really not nice, you're going to make shakul on it. Because it's edible, you make a bracha on it shakul. Because what bracha are you going to make on it? It's not adoma. It doesn't have the beauty of an adoma product. It's just about edible. You can't make ho'etz because ho'etz is... You can't even... Level is, ho'etz is the very best. If it's a nice fruit. Otherwise, if it doesn't quite pass that criteria, it goes down to adoma. And if it's not even adoma, it's not really good. If it's just about edible, you make shakul on it. If it's not edible at all, you're not going to make a bracha at all. If it's not edible at all, you're not going to make a bracha. Now, this is Noigah, who will speak about it shortly again in Mirtz Hashem, but this is very Noigah, Rabbosai, to, this halacha is Noigah to medicines. What is the halacha if you are drinking or eating a medicine which is really not tasty? No bracha on medicines. No bracha medicines? No bracha. Imagine those liquidy... So you are referring to... What you're referring to is if a person takes pills, that's considered lo derech achila according to many, many poskim, and you're right. I'm not referring to pills, I'm referring to liquidy...
Is that also not achila?
What makes it not achila? Because the derech achila you're referring to is the fact that a pill is not considered a food. It's, and the way you're eating it is not in a regular way. Shlomo Zalman compares it to eating something with a tissue around it. By eating it, it's not considered a regular way of digesting it. You're not really eating it. So that's with regards to pills. However, when it comes to liquid, like a syrup kind of thing, which tastes awful and half, what bracha do you make on it? Is that, so you are saying, are you suggesting it's not going to be chachila? It's on a spoon, and you eat it, or you drink it, rather. So is that considered still not the chachila? It's a chiddush. Pashtos, it is the chachila.
It could be like a pill.
You could argue, yeah. The mice supposed to look at the liquidy things look at, are considered generally the chachila. Yeah.
Well, like Gaviscon, which is a perfect example, it's a liquid, very thick, viscous liquid. It's flavoured only because it would be so disgusting if it wasn't flavoured, people honestly would be sick. But it's not a food. It's designed to deal with stomach acid.
Right.
So when it goes down, it coats the esophagus and the top of the stomach. But it's not supposed to be digested. It's supposed to just coat the
stomach. Good.
So it's not a food. Surely you couldn't say shahabal on that.
Very good. So that is taka. That since it's something which is it's something which is not considered roi l'achila, afila l'da'atchak. It's probably not considered achila l'da'atchak. Probably you're not going to make a bracha on it. You're not going to make a bracha on it. It's not something you would eat even l'da'atchak. If somebody's hungry, he's not going to eat it. It's not something which is considered roi l'achila. Could be you're eating it for something else. You're eating it for medical purpose or for comfort or for whatever you may call it. But it's not something you'd eat or drink for satisfaction. Therefore, it's no bracha. You don't make a bracha, Rabbi Yisai, on medicines. You don't make a bracha on medicines.
You take a pill with water.
That goes into the shaila of water. Now, water, we learned, it's halacha is, as the Mishnah Baruch says, ashoy semayin litzmoin, he makes your alcohol. Which means, water is the exception, that it makes a difference as to whether you're thirsty or not. If you're thirsty, you make your alcohol on water. It takes your thirst away. But, as opposed to any other food and drink, water is the only exception that if you drink it without being thirsty, you will not make a brach on it. You won't make a brach on water unless you're thirsty. Hence, in the medicine case, if you're really, really not thirsty and you're only drinking it because you're having a medicine, then you will not make, according to many poskim, and that's, I think, the minhag, then you're not going to make shakal on the water. I think that's the minhag. The alcohol came, but I think that's what people do. Yeah. So that is different because there is, it's no different really than a sweet. And like on a sweet, and like and even a chewing gum, really, you don't end up eating chewing gum, but there's sugar there that you will eat. There's sugar there that you'll eat. And therefore, you make shakal in it.
Yeah, I was talking about chewing gum. You should make a bracha, but you don't make an after bracha.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Right, okay, so, continues the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Gimel, we'll start Seif Gimel. Garinei HaPeiros. Now, Garinei HaPeiros is the pips of the fruit. Im Heim Mesukim, if they are sweet, I don't really know how they taste. Have you ever tasted that?
Pomegranate. That is the example of sweet
peppers. Oh, yeah. Pomegranate, yeah, that's right. In Garina Peros, Imam Sukim, Evoy, yeah. Garina Peros, Imam Sukim, if they are sweet, Evoy, Halem, Boy, 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 you make purple. That's right. Purple. The imen morim. If they are very bitter, einem mevorech aleim kara to make a bracha on it. The im misken ale deur. If you roast them, it's a very nice dish. Have you ever seen roasted pips? Yeah. Imen misken ale deur. You roast them. Mevorech aleim shakel. You're going to make shakel in it. Why do you make shakel in it? Oh, chestnuts. Oh, chestnuts, yeah.
One you make.
Okay, we'll leave the nuts, Shiley. We'll leave the nuts, Shiley. But you're right, it is the same.
It's like the orange juice scenario. You've changed their form.
No, that's different, because that's a different Shiley. We'll get to that as well still. Juices are different. Juices, we'll get to juices. Yeah. So here we're learning that Shulchan Aruch says that as Mishnah Berurah says, as if cotton chov gimel as follows. If you have got pips that are edible, mesukim doesn't mean necessarily sweet. It means edible. Mesukim lav dafke lo kol she'acheich nene mimenu b'miktsas. If they're edible pips, they're nice. Why not, instead of having nuts, you're having pips. Why not? Yeah? For morning snack, we have pips, yeah? How's that? So if they're nice, then you make a broch on them. It's part of the fruit. You make haitz. But if they are not edible, they're not really nice, they don't taste nice at all, you don't make haitz on it. The reason why you make b'pri haitz on it, mishum, it's also a part of the fruit. However, there are many achronim who distance themselves from that and disagree. And hold the you don't make a bracha or on them. To have a kipri gufa, it's not considered the fruit itself. You make bracha adom eid. That's what the Gon paskens that veimberich bracha eid. So Mishnah Berurah says the name of the Gon. There are achronim hold that you will not make b'pri eitz on the pip because it's not really part of the fruit. Rather, you're going to make a b'pri adom on it. It goes down one level, and he says that if you're just eating a fruit and you're finishing off the eating the fruit with it by eating its pips, that's what my mother-in-law does. She eats she goes to the apple. And when she's completed, I mean, she goes through literally, the only thing that she leaves over is the, I never understood that. I mean, I've given up on her, I'm saying. Yeah, well, I don't know. Pardon? She does that as well. She goes through, maybe it's South African. Yeah. Yeah.
What about the kiwi fruit?
The only thing she leaves.
Do you want to eat the kiwi fruit skin?
Yeah, it tastes good?
No. But I don't want to eat it.
There are people who eat it. Well, that would be a similar, yeah, that might be the same shayla actually. So if you're eating it by finishing the fruit, you just
it's leave it. It's probably also required to check on the fruit. Is there a shout about checking kiwi fruit?
I've never heard of the skin.
People will have chocolate orange peel on Pesach.
Chocolate?
Orange peel. It's a thing that people do on Pesach.
Chocolate?
Orange peel.
It's called Naransin, isn't it?
They'll take orange peel and they'll cover it in chocolate and people eat it. It sounds bizarre to me too, but that's what you can buy in the shops.
Okay, I'm not aware of it. Yeah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we learned tonight, Besiat Nishmai Sim Nireish Basic. We learned a very important Yisoy, the following levels when it comes to Birkas Aperois. Top level is specifically for wine, which is Birkas Agofen. If it doesn't qualify that, then any fruit that grows from the trees, Birkas Aperois, it's however, this is only true. If they are fully developed, they taste nice and they are very good. You make b'pri eitz. If, however, it's not quite ripe yet, it's not quite delicious yet, you can make b'pri adom on it. If it's not even that, it's like really, really not. If it's just about edible, but it's not particularly nice, but it is edible. And if that chak, you make according to the first opinion of Mishnah Berurah. That's how we pass. Can you make b'pri? You make shahakol on it. If it's not edible at all, you don't make a brocha. And that an example for that would be probably medicines. We learned also that was the last halacha we learned, that with regards to the pips, also you probably make b'pri eitz on it. It may be considered part of the fruit. Other achronim disagree. Yeah, okay. Good Shabbos, Rabbi Isai.